Let's pray. Dear God, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes bad things happen, and we look at them and we think, what are you doing? Did you mess up? Did you get confused? Did you lose control? What is going on? And God, sometimes your promises, they seem so far away. Phrases like, you are faithful, you are good, you are sovereign. Sometimes that's hard to believe when things don't work out the way that we expect them to. But God, we as your people and as you have promised us, please help us to keep trusting that you are good, that you are faithful, that you are sovereign, that you are working in all things to make it exactly how it was supposed to be. And what's happening right now isn't right. But there will be a day when it will be better, when it will be good, when it will all make sense and it will be right. So please help us to keep hoping in Jesus, the one who's bringing all these things in. Help us to keep trusting you. Help us to love each other and support each other. And most of all, we pray for Darwin and Deb, that you would bring these truths, these promises of your word, truths and promises that they have found to be true in the past, again and again. Please speak loudly into their hearts, so that they may believe them most of all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone have a handout, so the passage is on the inside of the handout. So when I was growing up, I thought I was so cool. You've probably heard me tell this before, or you knew me back then. But when I was growing up as a teenager, one of the things that I used to love to do is gel my hair. You know, I think it's called the wet, shiny, greasy look. And what I would do is I would part it down the middle, like this. So McDonald's, right? And I would give it a little flick at the front. So that it would spike up at the front, like that. And I was convinced that this is what the girls loved. I thought they loved it. Not only this, but I would wear two shirts on a Sunday. On my best days, I would wear a yellow shirt with a white one inside and leave my gold necklace with a cross hanging out for everyone to see. At one stage, I think I was wearing like Playboy stuff. But that's just what you did. And I walked and I talked and believed that I was the man. At one point, I even thought I looked a bit like Jay Chou. If you don't know who he is an Asian pop star. But when I look at the photos today, I cringe. You know, I have this really sick feeling in my stomach. I can't believe I ever thought that I looked cool. I can't believe I ever thought I was hot. I'm embarrassed to think how so very wrong I got it. Sometimes we get it so very wrong. Maybe you can think of a time when you have got it so very wrong. I know there are some people in here who used to wear flares and thought it was cool. But today, Jesus warns us that we can get it so very wrong when it comes to whether we're in or we're out of the kingdom of God. He tells us the reality of some people who think they're in, but they're not. But the thing is, they only realize when it's too late. So that's what we've got in front of us. Again, let's pray. Let's ask God for help. Dear God, we open up your word and we want you to teach us. We want you to challenge us. We want you to move into our hearts and rebuke us and encourage us and strengthen and comfort us. We want your word to speak to us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he's teaching as he moves from town to town, telling people about the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. It has come. The kingdom of God has come in Jesus. Now, the question that Jesus continues to ask the people following him is this. He looks at the crowds and he says, "Are you in or are you out of the kingdom of God?" But while Jesus was on his way, someone from the crowd asked Jesus, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" It's a good question, isn't it? You know, is it true that not everyone will be saved? And if not everyone, then who will be saved? Who will enter the kingdom of God? And who will not? We'll have a listen to Jesus' answer. We're up to point one now. Not everyone will be saved. Sorry, the outline's not there. But if you have a pen, if you're a writer, first point, not everyone will be saved. Jesus' answer to the question, is it true that not everyone will be saved, is this. Yes, it's true. You are right. Not everyone will be saved. Have a look at verse 24. Jesus said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." You see, some people will try to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, many will try to enter the kingdom of God, but they will not be able to. For the door is narrow, and not everyone will be able to enter. Jesus tells us that our best efforts, whatever it is, the best you, the very best you on your very best day, may not get you into the kingdom of God. It won't be enough. Some people will try, but will not enter the kingdom of God. A few of you have been applying for jobs lately, or maybe you've applied for a job in the past. But you know that with some places, it can be a very long process to apply for a job. You know, there are many, many steps along the process. And at any point, you know that you may be told you will not be proceeding to the next stage. Or maybe you received an email like I did that said, "Due to the high number of quality applicants this year," anyone got one of those before? It's devastating, right? Well, there was one time that I applied for a job. I was filling out the online application online. That's what you do with an online application, I guess. Until I get to the question about my results in uni. Now, I admit my results in uni weren't that great, so I became a minister. No, I'm just joking. But as soon as I filled out the question, I was locked out of the application. You know, I tried to refresh the page, nothing. I tried to go back and change my marks, nothing. Maybe it was my internet connection. But I wasn't allowed to continue. I knew why, but it was frustrating. Because no matter what I did, no matter how hard I tried, I would not be able to complete the application. Because my marks just weren't good enough. And even my best efforts would not be enough. I wasn't going to get this job. I wasn't going to be allowed into the company, no matter what I did, no matter how hard I tried. And it's the same with the kingdom of God. There will be some people who, even if they knock and knock and knock on the door of the kingdom of God until the knuckles on their hands go red and the skin on their knuckles begins to rip, no matter what they do or how hard they try, they will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus says, not everyone will be saved. And why? Because God will not let everyone in. God has shut the door on some people. And if we keep going, Jesus says there are some people who thought they would enter the kingdom of God, but they won't. And the sad thing is they only realize that they will not enter the kingdom when it is already too late and the door to the kingdom of God has been shut. We're on to point two now. Some people think they're saved. They think they will enter the kingdom of God, but they will not. And they will only realize this when it's too late. You know, some of you catch a train to work or school or uni. Maybe you can relate to this story. There was once a guy who caught the train to work. It was Neil, to say. He had an important meeting that day, which meant he had to come in a little bit earlier, so he made sure he was nice and early at the station. Neil, he took out his iPhone, he checked the train timetable, you know, that train timetable app on his phone, and it told him that the train would depart in 5 minutes at 7:24. It's the express one too, straight to Redfern. He's doing great. He's 5 minutes early, so he joins the line to the ticket machine. At this point, Neil is thinking, I have plenty of time. He's very confident he will make the train. But after a while, the line feels like it stopped moving. And it's starting to take that little bit longer. Also, he doesn't get why people walking away from the ticket machine, they have wet hands and they keep drying their hands. Anyway, he decides to wait some more, but with each moment, his heart begins to pound that little bit harder. And by now, he hears the announcement, the train will be arriving in 1 minute. But Neil, he can almost taste it. Three more people, and then it's his turn to get a ticket. He's actually going to make it. He's going to make the 7:24 express train to the city. But then he notices something. As he steps to the right, you know, wondering why it's taking so long, to his horror, he realizes something. Neil has been waiting in the wrong line. They moved the ticket machine to the other side of the station, and the line he's been waiting in for the past 5 minutes, it's the line to the toilet. Oh no. This is not a true story, by the way. So don't ask me, oh, is it true? It's not true. At that moment, the train arrives, and Neil watches on as people board the train. His colleague, Jim, who never comes on time, but for some reason today, he even makes the train. And as he hears the final call, doors closing, and the all-too-familiar beeping sound, beep, 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 Neil's missed the train. And he can't believe how silly he was for waiting in the wrong line. If only he'd realized he was waiting in the wrong line, he would have changed lines. And he would have got on the train. Has this ever happened to you? As I said, the guy in the story is not Neil. But he thought he made it, didn't he? He was so confident. He had plenty of time, 5 minutes to spare. But he was waiting in the wrong line. And only realized when it was already too late. So he missed his train, and no matter how angry he was inside, if he jumped up and down, the train is not going to come back. It's gone. And there's nothing he can do about it. You see, Jesus is saying the same thing about people who think they're going to enter the kingdom of God, but they've been waiting in the wrong line, and the door to the kingdom of God has been locked shut, so that they cannot come in. You know, they thought, surely I'm in. I've done all the right things. But they're not in. And they only realized when it was too late, and Jesus says to them, even if you, with tears in your eyes, plead and plead and plead, banging on the door for God to let you in, God will not let you in the kingdom of God. It's too late. You had your chance to enter, but you missed out. And God will say, like in verse 27, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. But who is Jesus talking about here? Who are these people who think they are saved, but are not, and only realize they're not when it's already too late? Just a quick note, a really good question to ask when you're reading the Gospels or the Bible in general is, how would people in Bible times have understood this passage? You know, how would people in the crowds listening to Jesus, his disciples or the writers who put the Gospels together as we have it, how would they understand the story that Jesus has just told? Really good question. How would they understand? Because I think sometimes we quickly jump and we go, oh yeah, that's saved by grace. But how would someone in Bible times have understood the story? Well, here, I think Jesus is talking about Israel. He's talking to the Jews who think that because of who they are, they think they will get into God's kingdom. The Jews who think that because they can trace their ancestry back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they will enter the kingdom of God and be saved. The Jews who think that because they have obeyed their own man-made rules, yes, with good intentions, but because of those rules, they will enter the kingdom of God. But all along, they've been waiting in the wrong line. And good intentions don't count for anything, because many will try to enter the kingdom of God with good intentions, but it is narrow, and not many will enter, because God will not let them in. And Jesus here is speaking directly to the Jews. You think you will enter the kingdom of God, but you won't. And the thing with God is, he has not been lazy in inviting them. God has sent the Israel prophet after prophet after prophet to tell them to repent and come back to him and live as his people. You know, in verse 34, Jesus describes himself, if you look at verse 34 in your handouts, he describes himself like a hen that longs to gather her chicks under her wings. But Israel was not willing. Israel ignored God's prophets. They ignored the warnings. They rebelled against God and were disobedient again and again and again. And eventually in Jerusalem, they will kill the Son of God himself. The King of God's kingdom, Jesus, who is God's final, loud, and clear announcement to Israel, he will be killed. They will kill him. Jesus, who says, come back to God. God desires for you to be his people. They will kill him. Israel did not listen. They did not heed the warning. And because of this, to the Jews who thought they were saved, they're not. And they will only realize it when it's already too late. And this is the worst bit. Jesus is talking about what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus talking about what it's like to be shut out of the kingdom of God. He talks about how Israel, the Jews, they will be looking in from the outside of the kingdom of God. And it's this idea of they'll have the whole of eternity to look into the kingdom of God, but be on the outside. They'll have forever and ever to regret, to mull over how they should have listened, how they should have responded to God's announcements again and again, to turn around and come back. But they chose not to. Have a look at verse 28. This is what it will be like outside of the kingdom of God. Verse 28. There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. See, the Jews thought they were in the kingdom of God, but Jesus, he tells them something they would never have expected to hear. You think you're in the kingdom, but I have thrown you out. And they can bleed, they can plead and bang on the door forever and ever with tears in their eyes, knowing they could have been there, but God gave them every chance. He even gave them his own son. But they did not listen. And now, because they did not listen, they will be forever locked out of the kingdom of God. So Jesus is warning us today, don't make the same mistake. Make sure you're waiting in the right line and do it before it's too late. You know, make every effort to enter the kingdom of God the right way. And don't miss out on the kingdom of God, because one day Jesus will lock the door. And you do not want to be forever looking in, thinking what could have been. You will regret your ignorance forever. But Jesus also wants us to know that something good has come out of Israel's rejection of the prophets and of Jesus. You see, Israel's rejection means that others can now enter the kingdom of God in the place of them, in the place of old Israel. We're on to point three now if you're a writer. It's out with the old and in with the new. I think for the first time ever, I'm going to use a sports illustration. I've never done this before, but I think this might work, so here we go. If you know me, I love rugby league. I love the Bulldogs. I don't like playing rugby league, I just like watching. But the thing with rugby league teams or any sporting team is there are always lots of people who get injured. There's always lots of injuries at any point in the season. And when someone is injured, what usually happens is if you're a player on the outside, you know, a guy sitting on the bench, you know, because of that person's injured, now it's your turn. You get a turn to play because you've got to fill the injured person's spot on the team. And it's kind of the same with the kingdom of God, because Israel had rejected God and the prophets and now Jesus. The door of the kingdom of God has been opened up to people outside of Israel. And Gentiles, or non-Jews, people like you and me, can now enter God's kingdom and have a seat in the kingdom of God. Have a look at verse 29 to 30. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. I don't know if you see how important these very verses are, because this is especially important for us. Last time I checked, none of us are of Jewish background, is that correct? Andreas went to a Jewish school, he ate Jewish stuff and he can speak a few words, but that doesn't make him Jewish. But here, right, the good news for us is this, that now non-Jews, Gentiles, Asians can enter the kingdom of God. Not because of our ancestry, you know, not because of our obedience, but because of Jesus. We can enter the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus. And guys, out with the old and in with the new. We are the new Israel. We're the last who are now first. The people on the outside of Israel who have entered the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus, who takes away our sin when he died on the cross and gave us his righteousness, his goodness to us. Jesus is our entry ticket into the kingdom of God. And this is the story of the Bible. You know, this is actually the story of the gospel. It is God's story of opening up his kingdom and extending it and establishing it to the ends of the earth to include people of every tribe and tongue and language and nation. You know, it's not about the nation of Israel anymore. But God's kingdom will be for all who belong to Jesus and to whom Jesus says, "You are mine." Because you trusted in God, and because you trusted in God's promises to love you and save you from your sin and keep a place For you in the kingdom of God, you are mine. These are the promises that God gives to his people. And it is even the same promise that God gave to Lizzie. And the reason why Lizzie is included in the kingdom of God, because God says, Lizzie is mine. She belongs to God and she is part of the new Israel that God is building. God is establishing a new Israel in Jesus. And if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must enter through him. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way to the kingdom of God. To end, I'll end with this question. How are you trying to enter the kingdom of God? Don't be foolish like old Israel, who are waiting in the wrong line, thinking that because of who they are, they will enter the kingdom of God. Don't be like them when they're convinced that because of what they do, they will enter the kingdom of God. If this is you, Jesus has warned you today, if you continue to think that because of who you are, or because of what you do, you can somehow bargain with God to let you into the kingdom of God, you have been reserved a place with old, rebellious, and disobedient Israel, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth outside the kingdom of God. You will be shut out of the kingdom of God. Please make sure that you're in the kingdom of God. You know, make every effort, because the door to the kingdom of God is open. But it won't be open forever. And those of you who are sitting on the fence half and half with Jesus, if you wait until it's too late, you might find yourself forever looking in from the outside. Regret. Thinking what could have been. Missing out on the kingdom of God, even though you had every chance to come in. Every week here at Kingsway is God's announcement to us. Come back, trust in Jesus, enter the kingdom. You can get a lot of things wrong, like hair and stuff. But don't get this one wrong. You know, make sure you make every effort to enter the kingdom of God. And make sure you enter the right way through Jesus. And do it before it's too late and you are locked out of the kingdom of God forever. And if you're trusting in Jesus, keep holding on to him. Keep doing that, because you will one day enter the kingdom of God and have a seat at the feast of the kingdom of God with all of God's people, past, present, and future. Pray. Father, we thank you that you have made a way for Asians and people of all nations and language and tribe and tongue and people to enter the kingdom of God. And it's not because of their ancestry. It's not because of where they are in the world. It's not because of what they do or the rules that they follow. But it's about Jesus and what he's done and trusting him. But he is the entry ticket to the kingdom of God. God, for some of us, we're trusting in Jesus and we will enter the kingdom of God one day. Please help us to look forward to that day when everything will be made right, where we will sit with our Father and our brothers and sisters, with Jesus himself, feasting in the kingdom of God, enjoying your presence forevermore, where everything will be how it was always meant to be. God, we ask that you would expand your kingdom, that you would establish it here on earth, that everywhere in our lives, in our workplaces, we would be glimpses of your kingdom later, now. Father, we pray this. Father, help us. Father, help us to keep trusting you if that's what we're doing. If we're not, Father, please work in our hearts. Please work through our questions and our doubts and our fears. But God, please don't let us, if we're not trusting you, to be shut out of your kingdom forever. Please don't let us regret for eternity the chance that we had to be in, but instead we chose to reject you and your Son, Jesus. God, we pray that your kingdom come, and that we pray that you would save and bring as many people, God, our families, our friends, here at Kingsway and outside of it and to the ends of the earth in it. For we know that your kingdom is a big, big place. Father, your kingdom come, it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.